Portraits of Grace. And when we picked this out, obviously we didn't know of some of the stuff that was going to come up last week. And because the subtitle is 10 Bible Characters Who Experience God at Work in Moments of Challenge. And we certainly had enough of those this week. But, you know, every week we have challenges. Amen. Somebody has something going on all the time. There's just challenges that happen. It's called life. And, you know, we deal with that. And it's so nice that God gives us His grace to get through that stuff. Amen. So if you look at the back, I just think we'll read that together about what this lessons will be about. It says, God's grace is a dynamic change agent that works in our lives to transform us unto the image of Christ. Scripture is full of stories of what God's grace looked like in individual lives and specific situations. We learn through the stories of the Bible how God worked in people's lives in their most challenging moments and extreme difficulties. But more than seeing how God worked in a miraculous way in their circumstances, we see how He changed the lives of the people themselves who experienced His grace. These stories are instructive portraits of God's desire to work in you and His abounding grace to grow and strengthen you. In these 10 lessons, discover God's grace at work in the lives of Hannah, Joshua, Gideon, Daniel, Esther, Peter, Stephen, and others, including today, Enoch. See the reflection of your own challenges and struggles in their lives and see how God's grace gives strength and victory. So that's what we want to do as we look at these individuals and what they were going through and what they got grace, is how to apply that to our lives. Amen? We want to be able to go out and apply these biblical truths. And, you know, and most all you class attenders are faithful in that and in hearing that. So I just, again, appreciate you all in doing that. But now's not the time to grow weary in doing that. We need to continue to grow and develop our walk with Him. So, lesson one is Enoch. Oh, I don't have the clicker either, so I guess you'll have to cover me, Nate. I think I saw it back on the table, if you know, somebody could grab it. But the subtitle is Grace to Walk with God. The Grace to Walk with God. It's on page 5 in your workbook. And it begins with a few verses out of the text. So, Genesis and Hebrews. If you're able, if you'd stand with me for the reading of God's Word, we'll read those verses together. Genesis 5, starting in verse 21. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And then Hebrews 11:5 refers to that, and it says, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you just for your wonderful lessons in the Bible. And this morning as we look into the life of Enoch and the grace that you bestowed on him, Lord, we just thank you for that. Help us, Lord, to determine to make our walk with you a priority of our lives. Lord, help us to just bring to mind any weights and hindrances that might be slowing us down and weakening our relationship with you, Lord. Help us to be stronger and more diligent about seeking that walk. And help us to trust that your ways are the best and to walk with you in those ways, Lord. So ask a blessing on our time together. Help me to get out of the way and that you just help us to individually get what you'd have for us this morning. We ask it in Jesus' precious and beautiful name. Amen. All right, you may be seated. So you know me, being a little math guy, I had to do a little math on Enoch here. It says later he's the seventh from Adam. So six generations after Adam is when Enoch was born, okay? And it's kind of interesting, though, as I say, I did the math. Adam was still alive six generations later. He was 720 years old out of his 930 years he lived. You know, so, you know, a lot of times we see the big pictures. I always think are cool, the four-generation pictures of, you know, great-grandpa, grandma, parents, and kids. Well, think of a seven-generation one, and, you know, great-great-great-great-grandpa in that picture, and it's kind of hard to imagine. And the other, you know, you had to dig some to find somebody, but it'd be like, if you can imagine, Columbus being alive today as your grandchild or child's being born, that Columbus would still be here. He'd only be 667 years old. So pretty incredible when you kind of think of it in the big picture like that, at how long these people lived and just who was around, and to even have, you know, some influence probably on Enoch, you know, Adam going around, you know, don't mess up like I did, and, you know, that lesson being learned for many more generations. You know, we have enough trouble passing something down to one generation, amen? So, anyway, I found that was interesting. That's an unpaid tidbit that you get. But have you ever been around a large group of people, but for some reason you were just not actually with them, that you felt lonely or isolated? You know, I certainly remember times in my life, you know, that you go to a party or something and you just kind of, you find yourself sitting in a corner, and those are almost lonelier than when you're sitting in a closet by yourself. Because it'd be kind of lonely to see all these people around having fun, doing stuff, and yet you're not really part of that. That can be a lonely experience. You know, we were there physically, you're able to engage in casual conversation, but your mind and heart were elsewhere. Well, we live in a busy, hurried society, and sometimes we can be around people without actually connecting with them. Well, often the same is true in our relationship with God. The moment we are saved, the Spirit of God immediately comes to dwell within our hearts. But often we are so busy with life that we do not acknowledge and walk with Him like we need to. You know, we know He's with us, but we just get too busy sometimes for Him, don't we? And we can feel isolated and alone from that. So we want to kind of look at that this morning. Because in our passage, we read of a man who had something far greater than a shallow understanding of who God was. Scripture records that Enoch walked with God. But what does it mean to walk with God? Enoch was one of the earliest men who lived. But out of everyone in all the genealogies that were mentioned in Genesis 5, it goes through a lot there, that he's the only one that has that testimony recorded, that he walked with God. We saw it, you know, with Adam and Eve walking in the garden in Genesis 1. But, you know, in the rest of it, very seldom did you hear that phrase. In today's study, we'll discover three aspects of what it means to walk with God and how we, too, can continue in a close relationship with the Lord Jesus. So Roman numeral 1 is Enoch's relationship. Relationship. Many biblical names have significant meaning. You know, we've all seen that. Enoch's name means dedicated. Dedicated. And he certainly lived up to the meaning of that name. To have the walk with God, the Bible tells us that Enoch did, he had to dedicate himself to the task. He had to determine that he was going to do that. His walk with God was the result of the determined desire of his heart. And his dedication allowed him to have a relationship marked by fellowship and reconciliation. When you think of walking with somebody, you know, that's a pretty close relationship that we have. So letter A, it's an abiding relationship. Abiding, which means continuing. It's an ongoing relationship. To walk with God indicates an ongoing abiding, not simply an occasional encounter. Enoch's relationship with God was the predominant factor of his life. You know, we don't know a whole lot about him, but that's one thing that God's Word puts out there, that he had that walk with God relationship. For us to walk with God, we must follow Jesus' instruction to abide in me. From John 15, there in your book, verse 4, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. In other words, we're not going to produce any fruit. He's not able to nourish us unless we stay connected to that vine. You know, you don't cut off the apple branch just before the apples are ready to ripen. Amen? You want to stay connected. Resisting the urge to wander, we must cling to the Lord and abide or remain in close communion with him. Enoch surely had various interests, but the foremost focus of his life was his relationship with God. He spent time with God. Oswald Sanders said, "It is impossible for a believer, no matter what his experience, to keep right with God if he will not take the trouble to spend time with God. Spend plenty of time with him, let other things go, but don't neglect him." Good advice. Matthew Henry said of this very passage of Enoch, "This was his constant care and work. While others lived to themselves and the world, he lived to God. It was the joy of his life." It's important that we recognize, however, that Enoch's walk with God was not the result of him being a good person. He was a sinner, just like we all are and like everyone then was. Enoch walked with the Lord in fellowship because he knew the Lord through reconciliation. He had received the grace of God. Remember that Adam and Eve originally walked with God in perfect peace, but sin broke that relationship. And so their walk stopped. Now, Enoch was able to continue because he did not break that relationship. There in your book, Genesis 3:8, on Adam and Eve, "And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden." Such a sad verse that they tried to hide from God in their guilt and their shame. For Enoch to have a relationship with God, he had to approach God as a penitent sinner, trusting in God's mercy and in the sacrifice for sin that God would provide in the future. Enoch looked forward to the cross of Jesus. Today, we look back at the Christ on the cross in faith. By faith, we look back and recognize that. Romans 5, 1 and 2 in your workbook. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith unto this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." In other words, he gives us that grace as we remain faithful and stand in him. It's a wonderful promise. The only way we can have a relationship with God is by God's grace. We're not worthy to walk with God, but God has provided a means of restoration, salvation through Jesus. So we can have this great privilege of a relationship with God. We've heard the pastor say the last few weeks, we can't be a Christian. We can't live the Christian life. And that's because we can't do it. We need God's grace and God in us to live that Christian life. So, yes, we're able to, but only by his grace. When the Bible says that Enoch walked with God, it is describing a man who knew he was a sinner and knew he needed a Savior. Enoch could not have walked with God apart from salvation. All of us must come to God as Enoch did, as sinners, believing in the grace of God. Letter B, it was a constant relationship. Constant relationship. Through salvation, Enoch had an abiding relationship with God, and this sweet fellowship brought a relationship of constancy. In other words, it stayed constant. Excuse me. Genesis 5, 22 through 24, again, from our text in your book there. "And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." Notice there is a beginning point to Enoch's walk with God after the birth of his son Methuselah. The birth of Methuselah triggered his understanding that life was heavier than he could handle. He recognized he needed God's help and began walking with God seriously at that point in his life. You know, and I've actually seen that. I remember a couple just out of college, a good friend of mine, you know, not churchgoers at all, but when they had a baby, you know, they wanted to get them Christianed in church and have me the godfather. And, you know, we're interested in church kind of. And you do, you get, when you see the miracle of birth, you know, something about that, isn't it? You go, oh my goodness. One, the wonder of it all, the miracle of it all. But then, this is my responsibility. Oh my goodness. You know, I'm going to need help. And you hear that, especially young mothers, you know, going on. But it's just that sense of needing some help. And what a place to go to get it but to God. So that's what obviously happened in Enoch's life. But he did not stop walking with God once his son was grown, or after he got him weaned, or whatever it might be. He continued to walk with God for the remainder of his life. And that lasted 300 more years. 300 years. You know, I tried to put that in perspective. I thought, okay, how about 300 hours? Can we walk with God for 300 hours? Giving you 8 hours a night to sleep? That's 3 weeks. Okay? 3 weeks. And I just challenge you, even now, if you don't feel like you have a walk with God, just determine to do that for 300 hours. The next 3 weeks, stay close to God and connected with Him. Okay? The other 300 days. What if it was just 300 days? Well, that's a whole year. Now we're doing better. You know, we walk a whole year with the Lord. And that's just 300 days. 300 months. Can we do it 300 months? Well, that's 25 years. 25 years. And we just hit 300 months. And I was thinking of my own life. You know, I was saved 40 years ago. And had closer walks and, you know, and falling away, and especially the first 30 of those. But the last 10 years, after I started coming to Spokane Baptist, when Pastor Tom formed it, got a little more serious about it, about helping and about trying to stay connected with Him. Obviously not perfect, but I can say honestly, I think the last 10 years I've had a closer walk with the Lord. And that's just 10 years. I got 290 to go, you know, God willing. And it's just kind of hard to picture some of that stuff unless we put it in perspective. Surely, during those years, Enoch had some moments of emergency, but there were surely also some great seasons of blessings. Through all those seasons, not just during the hardships, he had a continuing friendship with God. Friendship. Many people neglect their walk with God until they face a trial. Don't treat God as a last resort or as a 911 operator. You know, just a few weeks ago, I was just standing around the corner, and Kathy and Becky were talking. They didn't know I was listening. And Kathy, you know, she goes, "You know, Becky, Don treats me like a god." And Becky goes, "Oh, you mean he worships and adores you?" And she said, "No, he ignores me till he wants something." And, you know, how true that can be sometimes. We ignore God till we want something. So we need to not do that. Like Enoch, purpose that you will have an abiding relationship with God, regardless of your circumstances. Yeah. Don't wait to need something, you know. I've kind of found in my life, it seems like I need a lot less if I stay connected with Him. Amen. And I think He takes care of it. You know, we just don't even know sometimes the protection, and we've talked about that before, but what He does for us just by staying connected. Often, though, that's how we treat God. When we're in trouble, we want God to be there, but we don't walk with Him on a daily basis. You know, and hey, it's fine to want Him when you're in trouble. I mean, that's better than not wanting Him there. Amen. And, you know, and that's okay. And when He answers prayer, that's wonderful. But just so much better if we just do it daily and stay connected with Him. Ephesians 5:15 in your book. "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." You know, to walk with Him as the wise would, continually. Enoch was determined that nothing would keep him from walking with God. His life was one of constant faithfulness to the Lord. But this relationship did not come without a cost. There were sacrifices Enoch had to make in order to have this consistent walk with God. So number two, Enoch's relinquishment. Relinquishment. He had to give things up. If you're going to walk with God, the Lord may convict you of some things that you need to eliminate from your life. The Bible tells us that if we're going to run the race, we must lay aside the sins and the weights that bring us down. Sometimes we let life drag us down, amen, and definitely slow us down, and things can happen. We must try to lay those aside, the ones we do have control over. We cannot carry them and win. Let's look at Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. There in your book. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Again, Lord Jesus is our example. There may be something in your life you have to relinquish in order to have a strong, ongoing walk with God. It may be a sin, or it could be something that's not necessarily sinful, but like a runner's weight, is holding you back from an undistracted, meaningful walk with God. You know, and I'm sure things can pop into your mind. You know, I thought TV, you know, can be an addictive thing that take us away. And some people get addicted to Fox News, for goodness sakes. And I was there a few years ago. I just got kind of tired of that all, too. Facebook, taking that time away. Kids' activities, you know, nothing really wrong with kids' activity, but I've seen so many families just, that's all they do. They're running from one thing to another all the time. And just constancy. Not that they're necessarily bad, you know. I tried to get Josh in sports. We did some horse stuff with our daughter. But it just wasn't 24/7, 365 days a year, you know. And I think my daughter's doing a pretty good job. She'll pick certain things for the kids to do, but not just all the time. So I just, you know, strongly urge families to not let the family lose their entire walk with God, just be through the activities that are available nowadays. And I thought of smartphones. You know, I can struggle with that myself. Now we can do everything on smartphones, and, you know, you certainly see the teens with their face in it, but, you know, a lot of adults too. Just things that can eat up our time. Can eat up our time. So, if you want to walk with God for the rest of your days, as Enoch did, you need to let go of any bitterness, addictions, or any other weights that are hindering your relationship with the Lord. You know, that's certainly when bitterness can really just can be a mind sucker, you know. It makes it really hard to do that. And yeah, it might be easy to say to get rid of it, but I know it's difficult, but those things that God can cleanse from us and really turn over to him, it's important that we strive to do that. And we do that by being in his word and walking with him. He'll enable us to get over that. What does complete relinquishment to God look like? It begins with trusting that God's timing is best. So letter A is to trust God's timing. We've talked about that some in the last few weeks as well. Just, you know, his timing is not our timing. Amen. You know, and we can say that's unfortunate, but we probably more often would be, well, I'm sure at the end we're going to be glad. When we understand, you know, the whole thing, we're going to be glad we waited for God's timing instead of trying to force our own timing on things. And Enoch did not run with God. He walked with God. In our society, we can have nearly anything instantly except real heart-level relationships. You know, we can get a lot of stuff like that, but nothing too meaningful. We need to slow down, take our time with the meaningful things. Even in our fast-paced culture, we need to understand that God does not work on our schedule. And we need to learn to wait on his timing. Psalm 27:14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine hearts. Wait, I say, on the Lord. You need to patiently wait for him. And in prayer, Micah 7:7, Therefore, I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. So we can have the confidence he hears us. Just because we don't get a quick answer doesn't mean he doesn't hear. He knows what's best. Some people walk with God for many years but become discouraged eventually, and they stop walking with him, not Enoch. For 300 years, Enoch walked with God. Hard to picture. Our responsibility is to wait on the Lord, even when we don't understand what he's doing. And that can be hard. You know, we face a lot of that, and you're just kind of, okay, what are you doing, Lord? But just need to wait, just to see what he's doing. The devil wants you to allow a short season to drive you away from the Lord. You know, he'll use that frustration and that urgency we feel to drive us away from God. And that's what we can't let happen. Don't let Satan have victory. Instead, run to Jesus during your darkest hours and wait on his deliverance. When God does not work on your timetable, trust that he knows what he's doing and that he will work everything out for his honor and glory. You simply need to continue to walk with him. Kind of a lot easier job, isn't it? When you think of it, I know it's not easy, but if you think about it, it's a lot easier to walk with him than worry and fret about everything. Right. Enoch relinquished his own timing to God's timing, trusting that God would work things together for good. Enoch also relinquished his life to God's calling, and that's letter B, to pursue God's calling, to pursue it. And then, you know, it's an action verb, to go after it. Walking with God includes following his will. Think of when Jesus called his disciples, and they immediately followed him. I always found that this passage interesting there in Matthew 4, verse 18 through 20 in your book. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. Wow. Yeah, I think today, you know, Jesus popped into my office and said, you know, hey, you know, unplug the calculator, follow me. You know, that's a real step of faith to just get up and do it. You know, pretty incredible these men did. If we are truly walking with God, it will be apparent in our lives. Enoch walked with God like that for so long that when it came time for him to enter eternity, he simply continued the relationship he already had. God took him, allowing him not to die. Wow. Isn't that, you know, I kind of think it's going to be a big change for me. That's probably unfortunate. You know, we could just changing an address, you know. Same old, God, I'm walking with you. You know, what a blessing. From our text, Genesis 5:24, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. The verb took in this verse means to take in the hand. It almost implies that God took Enoch by the hand, escorting him from earth to heaven. Isn't that a wonderful picture? Just kind of, hey, Enoch, you've done okay for 300 years. Come with me. And boom. Take him right to heaven. Wow. Wow. Instead of facing death, Enoch was instantly translated into heaven. Outside of Jesus, the only other person in the Bible who experienced this was Elijah. Hebrews 11:5 also speaks of this miraculous way Enoch departed earth. Again, from our text in our book, Hebrews 11:5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. The verb translated means to transpose two things, one of which is put in the place of the other, to transfer or to change. Kind of like the Stargate, just transports right there. What happened to Enoch was a picture of what the rapture of the church will be like. And we can look forward to that. A couple of sections there. How am I doing with time? probably ought to keep moving, but let's go through them quickly. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 53. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this incorruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Looking forward to that any day. Our loved ones who were saved and have already passed into eternity are currently with the Lord. We who are still alive will be translated with the Lord, like Enoch was at the end of his life. Enoch was instantly brought to be with God, just like the Christians who are on earth during the rapture will be. What a wonderful day that will be. We'll all get to go up together. Hallelujah. Number three is Enoch's reliance. Reliance. What a sweet, special relationship Enoch had with God. He had a friendship with God that cannot exist unless there is complete trust, complete reliance, and being involved. Warren Wiersbe said, "True Bible faith is confident obedience to God's word in spite of circumstances and consequences." So in spite of what's going on, what's happening, what we've done to mess up, you know, the faith is being confident and being obedient to God, that he'll work things out. Enoch certainly had true Bible faith, which is why he's included in Hebrews 11. In fact, the verse Hebrews 11:6 we so often quote about how we cannot please God without faith is in context about Enoch's faith. Look at it there in your book, Hebrews 11:5 and 6. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Then immediately, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So that verse describes a lot about Enoch. When you think, you know, just following that he believed he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So Enoch was aware of God's grace for that. As stated earlier, Enoch walked with God for 300 years. He could not have done this without having a solid faith in God. His life of reliance on God developed a testimony for God. And I'd say, you know, we just need to do that ourselves. Try it for the 300 hours. And then for the 300 days, and then the 300 months, you know, develop that walk and that reliance. Letter A, it develops a testimony. Develops a testimony. Hebrews 11:5 tells us that Enoch had this testimony that he pleased God. The word for testimony is the Greek word martyr, which means an affirmation or good report. When you rely on the Lord, you will have a good testimony over time. On those things, you know, we just kind of to prove your love for him over and over, that develops the testimony. Perhaps some people today may think that it was easy for Enoch to walk with God. He didn't live in our sinful society. What could have stopped him from walking with God? Well, contrary to this thinking, Enoch did live in a sinful society. In fact, the era in which Enoch lived was marked by vast wickedness. It was actually referred to even later as in the days of Noah. They were kind of contemporaries to some extent. You know, I think it was probably even worse than it is today. Hard to imagine. I do think we're catching up, you know. Genesis 6 and 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Enoch lived in a tough society. Yet for 300 years, he's able to walk with God. He did not walk with God because it was easy. He lived in a wicked time, yet he walked with God faithfully in spite of the sinful culture around him. It is possible to have a strong testimony for God even in today's world. If Enoch did it then, you can do it now. Don't let the sin and the weights around you stop you from being a light for Christ that this dark world needs. I mean, the world needs us now more than ever, folks. It really does. Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Enoch had a testimony of faithfulness as well as a testimony of truth. He unapologetically stood for right and what was right. Jude 14:15 there in your book. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of thee, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. Now, even then he saw the Lord coming. Verse 15, to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. I think he's probably referring, you know, even to the flood. Hey, the flood's coming, people, you know, and it's going to wipe you out.
What verse was that?
Jude 14:15. Should be there in your workbook. Despite the sinfulness around him, Enoch did not forget that God was still in control and would come to judge the world. Enoch was a partner of Noah and that he walked with God in an evil, difficult generation. What kind of testimony do you have? Do those around you see you relying on Christ? Or do you blend in with the culture? Anybody can live an impure lifestyle. Amen. Pretty easy to go along with what's going on. You know, you'd blend right in. Nobody'd even notice. You're going to get noticed if you stand apart from that. It takes somebody with a real walk with God to take a stand in today's generation. Our reliance upon God develops a testimony for him, and it also pleases him. Kind of nice to know that we can please him. Letter B, it pleases God. Again, Hebrews 11:5-6. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. How do we exercise the faith that pleases God? First, we please him by putting our faith in the finished work of Christ. We can have total faith that it is finished, that Christ accomplished it all. You will never be able to please God until you have trusted in him for salvation. Once we have been saved, we please God by trusting him day by day. Don't try to run ahead of God, and certainly don't lag behind him. You know, walking side by side, amen? That's where we want him, walking alongside us. Just walk with him like Enoch did. It just came to mind, teaching your kids how to ride a bike or it's just kind of fun to get them out there. I remember taking Josh out and found a nice grassy school ground, you know, didn't want him crashing on the asphalt, amen, because he was kind of crazy. And getting him to concentrate and focus on pedaling, running along, holding the seat, and then kind of letting go without him knowing, you know, and just how proud you are of that. And part of that excitement is that he trusted you, right. You know, that he just learned to trust Dad and that Dad wasn't going to let him crash and burn, even though it might have, you know. And the same thing and uses swimming, you know, when you get the kids out there and you kind of hold up their tummy and teach them to stroke and to kick and to paddle and then all of a sudden you lower your hand down and off they go swimming, you know. Right. And little Hugo, just the other day, he let go of Dad finally and started swimming around the pool. And he was just so excited, you know, and Josh is beaming, you know, that, you know, the kid trusted him enough to kind of let go and swim, that he wasn't going to drown. And that's how it should be with God, just, you know, just trusting him that he's going to take care of us. He's not going to let go until we're ready to get let go. But he's always going to stay close by, ready to grab it back and hold us back up. Beautiful examples of what God does for us. The devil will try to stop you from walking with God, and he will do it by planting thoughts of doubt and uncertainty in your mind. Amen. How many of us deal with that? My goodness, you know? You can just, you know, we really going to take care of this God? You know, I don't know. You know, we all do that. We all do that. But those thoughts are of Satan. If we can have the opportunity to rely on God, Satan knows that you cannot please God if you do not trust him. Don't allow Satan to have that victory. Rely on the Lord. Again, just tell Satan to get behind you. You're going with God on this one. And he'll do that. Excuse me again. I don't know. Something about standing up here makes your nose run. 2 Timothy 1:7 there in your book. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Wow. Wow. Power, love, and a sound mind. Praise God. You know, and that's what he's given us. He doesn't want us to be afraid. So in conclusion, wouldn't you love to leave a legacy like Enoch did? You know, that'd be pretty cool. Okay, God, yeah, just take my hand, take me up there. Wow. Wow. Well, wouldn't you like the end portrait of your life to be a portrait of one who has walked with God by his grace? How does God give us grace to walk with him? First is by offering us the gift of salvation, a gift of grace. We begin a personal relationship with God when we trust his son Jesus as our Savior. And second, we walk with God as we relinquish our timing and lay aside the weights that are holding us back from the ongoing fellowship with Christ. And finally, we walk with God as we rely on God, as we trust him. Over time, we'll have a testimony of faithfulness like Enoch did. Let's pray. Father God, we are so thankful for this wonderful lesson on your grace and with Enoch. Lord, the challenges it has for us to walk with you. Lord, to stay close to you and abide in that relationship. Lord, we know our salvation is a miracle of the moment, and we're so thankful for that. But our discipleship, Lord, is in the process of a lifetime. Lord, may we not be the kind of Christians that fail to grow after our salvation, but may we continue to walk with you by your grace. Lord, as you instruct us in Philippians 2:12, to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Lord, as we go through this life and the challenges and the sinful society we live in, Lord, that we would stay close to you, that we would just honor you and respect you enough to know that you have our back, that you have and want what's best for us, Lord. We can only do that with your grace. Lord, thank you so much for that grace that you give us and are willing to give us more and more. Remember it being referred to as an ocean. We're surrounded by an ocean, and all we have to do is like a fish, open our mouth and take a little of it in. And take in the grace that you've given us and presented us with. So, Lord, thank you for that. Grant us your grace to continue to be diligent and grow in you. We ask all these things and just thank you for the class and again for their prayers and all for me. We pray for the service to follow with the BBS, Lord, that would just be a wonderful blessing, especially to some new families we hope will come that had their children here, and just to feel your love and the love that we have for those kids and the families. What a wonderful opportunity it is to be a witness in this community. So bless that time together, we ask, Lord, and we ask this all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.